This is Kelly.
And this is Amy.
And you're listening to Diary of a Death Investigator. Amy has an interesting case for us today that will have, I believe, listeners torn. You're going to be team wife or team husband in this one.
We know which one you'll choose.
Choose wisely.
The right side.
We're calling this episode In Cahoots.
Yeah, this was, oh my gosh, stressful, especially when you're a new investigator too. I was recently released to be on my own at this point, and I was like, what did I get myself into? So,
don't worry, yeah. We all say that with our jobs every day.
Well, when it has to do with law enforcement, especially, and people who like to throw their power above you, like, yeah, it definitely is, it's a little scary. So yeah, it's like, do I do what's right? You know, so which always do what's right. It, you sleep better at night. So just a little grain of truth from Amy.
Hey, I say the same thing at work. Like, I'm going to find out anyway. You might as well tell me now what you're up to, because I'm going to find out.
Yeah. Well, autopsies never lie. So even if you do a second or third one, they all say the same.
Well, we think there is a case right now that is pretty popular that Amy and I've talked about possibly covering.
Well, yeah. You know what? This one kind of covers same stuff.
Okay.
So when you have a autopsy, because first I will say, depending upon where you're at, medical examiner or coroner, right? If it's medical examiner, it's not biased, right? And so there's going to be less of a chance that there's going to be any bias in that, especially because you're not going to have the influence of law enforcement or any insurance company or anyone's pockets being lined by anything. I always think it's so interesting when a family hires a private agency to do an autopsy and, oh my gosh, it's a totally different finding. It's just like, what are the odds of that? I have such a hard time believing that. Just because I know who I worked with and I watched thousands of autopsies, and it's really hard to find that big of a difference when, you know, two people who are supposedly medically trained in the same area that have to go through the same certifications are finding two totally opposite things, that, you know, that these people are testifying in court. And they even have other doctors look at the reports, and that are, you know, high profile cases. And sometimes these doctors feel such pressure that a lot of times they put unknown or undetermined because they're so afraid to put what they really want to put on some of these cases.
So, I have a question. So mm-hmm. Under the coroner, you still have a doctor doing the autopsies.
So coroners, which are, you know, your sheriffs, they are the ones that order an autopsy. So it's still a doctor, and it's going to be someone who is a forensic pathologist, but it's going to be someone that is working with that agency. It's not going to be, because at the end of the day, the coroner is still the one that's going to be signing off on the death certificate, because the doctor can make a suggestion of what they found, but it's still the coroner that's going to be signing off on what it is.
And that's why this case is so interesting.
Yeah, I think that's why the medical examiner system is a much better system. So I don't know. That's just my two cents. So, like I said, I know who the doctors were that I worked for, and I knew their experience, and I don't think they were idiots by any means. They, especially when you're doing thousands of autopsies a year. So, with 20 plus years of experience, even if you have 5 years of experience, how many autopsies is that a year? So, yeah, it's crazy. So, to even question a doctor that's been through 10 years of medical school and residency and all these things. It's just like,
yeah.
Let's go to TikTok investigators and ask them their opinions. Anyways, yeah, this case will definitely give you kind of an insight to this popular case that TikTok sleuths have been all over. Literally, TikTok sleuths were on scene of that, which I don't even know how law enforcement didn't shut that down.
And we're referencing the boy who they found in the river who got kicked out of the bar, was drunk, mm-hmm. and everyone's claiming his friends left him or whatever. I think they're paying the bar tab, and then they found him dead.
Yeah, so, well, like a month later, right? It was like a month later that they finally found him.
I don't know if it was that long, but
it's weeks.
So yeah, that's the case Amy's referencing to on this. So we've talked about, I've asked her what she thinks of the autopsy, and
I haven't read the reports, but I know that they had a second one done and they're saying that, oh, new stuff was found. So, which I haven't even read that either, which it could be like minor things, but, and I'll tell you guys like what happens when people drown in rivers, because I've had cases of that too, which looks like trauma and it's really not. It's post, like there's differences between antemortem and postmortem trauma, and you can definitely tell the differences. So yeah, so this is kind of in the same realm of those things, and maybe it'll help give some people some insight on water deaths and if it's really a water death or not. So yeah. And there's a little political twist to this one as well. So, which there is to a lot of high profile cases, right? I guess we'll just jump into it. So Kelly was doing some research of her own on this. So,
well, I'll chime in on some of the stuff that I found about this gentleman once you start talking about him. I don't want to be biased, right? Or present a bias at the very beginning.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good point. All right. So I get a call on this. It was reported to me by a county, so it's Sheriff's Department, and it comes in to me at a little after three in the afternoon, and this woman had reportedly drowned in her pool. She's 78-year-old white female, and she was pronounced or found deceased like about an hour before they had called me. So the story that I was given when I arrive roughly 30 to 40 minutes later when I get to the scene is that this woman, she had been to the doctor earlier that day. I don't know, I think 7 a.m. she had been to the doctor or around that time. And she had gone back to the house or had returned back to her house at around 9 a.m, as reported by her husband. And so her husband, who is a dentist, was the one that reported all of this. And so I guess he leaves the house for work and he hadn't heard from her since he had seen her that morning when she had returned.
Wait. She was how old?
78.
And he's how old?
I don't know how old he is.
Okay, well, I know that he's 88 now. He's still practicing at 70. Let's say this was not 10 years ago. So he's 80 years old. He's an 80-year-old dentist.
I guess.
Oh my gosh. He's got to have a side hustle. I wouldn't want him working on my teeth. I know what even with my reading glasses, like, would you want someone like that working on your teeth? I mean, I'm not trying to be like ageist or anything, but like at some point.
I mean, I don't know his health history. I mean, he can consult on my x-rays, but probably not.
So I'm just wondering if he is really going to work.
I'm just giving you what I was told.
Okay.
So yeah, you could be right. I don't know. Maybe he's a pimp, Kelly.
That wouldn't be the first time we've heard that.
You know, we know pimping ain't easy, so I don't know. Okay, so yeah, he hadn't heard from her, you know, since that time. And I guess no one else in the family had either. So they became worried. So then he comes back to the house and he's looking for her. And then he goes around to the back of the house, which this house is like out in the middle of nowhere, like out in the country. So there's like no other neighbors around. Like it's just their house. They live on a larger plot of land as well. So back behind the house, they have this pool. And so when he walks around to the other side of the pool, he sees that she has her foot stuck in one of those like filter drains. And yeah, she's wearing like flip-flops and her flip-flop is like stuck in the drain. And the way that's positioned is it's like pointed towards the pool.
And I'm shaking my head because this is all kinds of bad already. I can already feel it.
Yeah. They said that she was found, they said supine in the pool, right? So supine is back down. So she'd be like laying, which even more to me is like, well, she's face up. Wouldn't she float? Like, couldn't she float? And so I'm like, well, why couldn't she just slip her foot out of her sandal? So that's the story I get. Her foot is stuck in this drain filter, like the cover, I guess, had like given way. And yeah, she was stuck. And they had pulled her out when EMS fire department arrived and yeah, pulled her out of the pool, did CPR, and she was dead on scene. So yeah, when I get there and I arrived to the scene, they had called like all their family and friends to this house. Like it was almost like it was a funeral. And it was just so bizarre to me because I'm like, why was I the last one here? Like, why is the whole family here? It was almost like he called them first before he called.
Oh, because you know why he called them first.
Oh, I'm getting to that point. Yeah, so there was 20, at least 20 plus cars there. And people were still arriving. Like, I'm like, where do I even park? And what was even more, like, they were being served, like, appetizers and stuff. Like, people were eating, and it was a very bizarre, yeah, like, drinking tea and all this stuff. Like, it was really weird. So,
had they planned a party, and everybody was showing up, and, like, this lady was just, like, walking around the pool getting ready?
No, this was not, like, no. So, when I walk up, I see like the sheriff's there in the back. There's like a deputy sheriff. There's the lieutenant. There's three CSIs and there's family members outside. And then they have like all these huge like bay type windows. And the family is standing at these windows watching what's going on. And I'm like, this is the most bizarre scene. Which I'm brand new, but I'm like, this is weird. And no one's crying. And they're eating like hors d'oeuvres and appetizers and drinking their sweet tea. And I'm like, who's even in charge here? And luckily they had covered her up with not a towel. It was like one of those white sheets that they have in the back of EMS. And I asked the sheriff, I'm like, hey, I need to look at her. I need to examine her, like take pictures and stuff. Can we get the family inside and shut these blinds? And he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, I need to give her some privacy so I can examine her. And he's like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, they really don't have any business watching me while I'm doing this. And the CSIs were like, like they couldn't believe, but the lieutenant
couldn't
like,
believe
yeah.
like that. What couldn't they believe that you were asking that or that he was?
Yeah, they were a little afraid because they had tried to basically do that earlier, and he was the one running the show.
And but do the CSIs work for him?
Technically, yes,
but you don't.
But I don't, and he gets mad, and he's like, Well, I've been friends with this family for a long time, and I can already tell you what happened. And I was like, oh, really? Well, what happened? And he goes, well, she drowned. I was like, oh, you're a doctor? And that didn't make him happy. And
wait, you really said that?
I did really say it, because he made me mad. And I'm like, this poor woman is basically has no dignity, you know, laying out here dead. And it's a show for these people. They're eating their snacks, watching a crime scene. And he made me, I mean, like, this is just like, what do you mean? Like, if this is your friend, wouldn't you want her to have some privacy? So I go inside, I just walk inside and I close the blinds. And the people just looked at me like, how dare you? And I look at them like, how dare you? So I walk outside and I ask like a couple of the deputies, I'm like, can you hold up this sheet so I can take pictures of her and examine her? And there's like a couple things that look odd. Like she has scratches on her feet. Like she had been like scuffling, like trying to get like herself free. And like things that are classic of what you would see of like possibly a drowning, but could also be from like head trauma.
So just to go back real fast. She stepped in one of these, like, where you keep your chlorine or you keep the baskets, right? Mm-hmm. Like in one of the holes. Did it break mm-hmm. through, or did her foot just hit, like, where you put your hands to pull off the top of it?
It just, like, it like, collapsed through, but it, like, it didn't break. So I thought that was weird. Like, it just looked like it, like, slanted. Like, one side, like, went through. So I was like, that's weird. And, like, who just... shoes were big enough to like cover the whole thing. And I was like, this is just weird. It's just weird. Especially if they said she drowned face up.
Well, and when you step on in those two, like the ones that I had at my old house and the one that mom and dad have, they're fairly deep. So if you step mm-hmm. in, it's still like a good foot or two down. So like, even if you fell, which I would think you're not, you would have to be walking. Like, even if you fell to the, like, left, let's say you're walking right over it, which is what I assume happened, you would fall to the left, like, you would be on your side.
Well, she stepped in it with her left foot, and the pool is to the right of her. So, but even still, like, her other leg was still out of the pool. And so it was, like, from her knees up was basically, like, what went back, like, into the water. So her, both of her, like from the knees down, were out of the pool. Yeah. So what I was saying with, so she had scratches and she had what I would indicate could be from drowning, which is foam, which was a little discolored, like red, which you could see from like purge from the stomach, which they also did CPR. So CPR can also create foam as well, like, or edema from the lungs. Cause sometimes they do CPR, you know, where they will crack your ribs. And so like edema can be created that way. Or if you have like a brain injury, you know, you can have foam as well. So there's a couple different ways like you can drown. There's like dry drowning and there's like secondary drowning, which you can see that like with kids, like if they get like a little bit of water and it can like line your lungs with like your lungs will start like lining with like fluid, or like dry drowning is like you're not actually like in water at all. But with drowning, which is kind of like a misconception, a lot of people don't actually have like water in their lungs. Like you wouldn't, like a lot of people think like, oh, your lungs are like full of water. And I can remember like having a case once like come through our office and I asked like our chief and I'm like, so is there like a lot of water in people's lungs like when they're drowning? And he told me, no, like there might be a little bit of water, but it's more of the trauma like to the lungs. So in your lungs, if you've ever seen like an anatomical picture, or if you've ever examined like lungs in depth, if you've ever done like a dissection of lungs, you have like these air pockets. Or if you've ever had like bronchitis or pneumonia, maybe you've heard a doctor talk about like the alveoles in your lungs, and they're like pockets in your lungs. And like, that's kind of the part that is like affected the most in drowning. So these pockets will basically get like over distended. So like your lungs will be distended. And a lot of this is from like that, like trying to like grasp for air. And so your lungs will get distended, and the alveoles like the same thing. And then basically you'll see like this trauma to the alveoles. And we've talked about with like asphyxia before, where you have like that, it's kind of like, you know, with like petechia, you'll have like the spotting because of like the burst capillaries. Kind of the same thing happens here, because you're asphyxiating, right? And so you'll have that kind of effect like in the lungs. But yeah, you're not going to have like lungs full of water. You will have a stomach full of water though, because once you stop like breathing, right, you're not breathing in water. Okay. But you might swallow water, and then you might inhale water up into your nostrils. So you might have some in your sinuses. So that's usually where they'll find water. And drowning victims, they'll actually take like a syringe, and they'll put a syringe up through the nasal passage, and they'll retract some, or they'll attempt to see how much water they'll get out of like the sinus cavities, especially for children, if they think it's like a drowning case, because they'll denote how much water was found like in like the sinus cavities. And so especially if it's like a significant amount, like it's a pretty good determination that that's a drowning, because if you're like sucking in air through your nose, that's going to fill up here. It's like, you know, if you like ever get water in your nose, like you start sneezing.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of thing. And then in the autopsy, they'll also open up your stomach, and then they'll find water. We had another case, this guy drowned in a lake, and they actually found tadpoles in his stomach, which I thought was really crazy, kind of cool at the same time. The tadpoles were actually really big, like 3 or 4 centimeters long. So they use that as evidence as well, like that this was like a drowning victim. So yeah, everyone just thinks that like lungs are going to be the thing that has the water in them, where it's like the stomach and the sinuses. And in the lungs though, you'll also still have that edema, which is like that foam. So you'll have like this redness or irritation with like the edema or the foam. And then you'll also have these, like this classic like foam cap or edema, which will come from the nostrils and the mouth. So these are things that are like clear cut signs of drowning, but always are determined through like a full autopsy. They'll also do a panel in toxicology where they're going to check like your electrolyte levels. Now, I'm not a chemist, but they say that there is this electrolyte shift in the toxicology levels. Now, a lot of times I see a big electrolyte panel done in vitreous humor, which is taken from the eyes. So I know a lot of times they really like to get vitreous to check for electrolytes. So that's what we look for in drowning victims. So like if someone is like smacked over the head, or there's blunt force trauma in any type of manner, and then dumped into water, there's like some clear cut things, even if someone's been in the water for a long time, that they can look for, you know, even afterwards. Now, things that are going to be like postmortem, you can tell because it's going to have a different color to the wound. They're going to be more yellow because you no longer have those living capillaries to pull blood to the surface. So if something is like from animals, so like anything that's like living in the water, because you're going to have that. If you've been in the water for a long time and there's going to be things eating on you, which happens, right? It's just like nature. you'll be able to tell that's postmortem because it's gonna be yellow. Then a lot of times, like if it's a river, the water is gonna be pulling on the body, or the body's gonna be catching on things in the water as well. So if there's branches or trees or limbs, anything like that, the body can get caught on that. So like the chances were, you know, like I've seen cases where people are like, well, they're completely nude. Well, think of all the things that like they're going through, like as they're passing through water, that they could get caught on. And sometimes people end up in water because they're like so high on something that their metabolism speeds up and they're hot. So drugs can cause people for their metabolisms to speed up, and then they get hot. And so they take off their clothes and they jump into water because they're hot. So they're trying to cool down, even if it's like the dead of winter. And so either people drowned or they freeze first and then they drown. So it's like hyperthermia versus drowning. It could be both. So there's a lot of reasons why someone could be like naked in water or have all these extra traumas to them in the water when they're pulled up. So it's just because some people just don't have experience with these things. And they're like, well, why do they have all this trauma? There's rocks in water too. Like if he came into contact or if they came into contact with these things, a body is not going to come out pure and pristine if they've been in the water for a long time. That's just how it works. So that's just my 2 cents on drownings. So if you didn't know, now you know. And so this is something that I will say, we did not find all of these things on this lady when she went in for an autopsy, because I was like, okay, well, these people are saying that she had all these things wrong with her, right?
Was her right leg all scuffled up too, like bruised and stuff? Because I would think that she would have, if you step on this, you're going to fall. I would think she would fall on her right knee just because she would fall down. Not to the side.
No. When I was looking at her though and taking pictures, she did have all these little bruises on her arms. And so I kind of felt like the whole time I was there, like the sheriff was like trying to rush me, and like the CSIs were like basically trying to tell me that they felt like they had been rushed too. And it was like they didn't feel comfortable. And they were like, yeah, we don't agree with this guy and what he's doing. And they thought things felt weird to them too. And like, he knew that she was going to be getting an autopsy done. So I don't know why he was trying to cover all this up. It just, the whole thing was weird to me, but it's like, she's still getting an autopsy. I don't know, like, she's in my jurisdiction. You can't control that. Even though this is his jurisdiction out where he works, it doesn't matter. The body is still in the jurisdiction of the state. So unlucky for him. And it was weird that she had bruising to her arms. Little bruises, usually, now that I know further on in my career, little bruises like that you see a lot in self-defense or in what you would see like someone like grabbing someone by the arm, like a handprint or like fingerprints of being grabbed. And so I thought that was weird. Now, these were older bruises because they were like green colored. And so I'm like, I don't know. Maybe there might be newer ones under there, but I'm to be real honest, I didn't feel quite comfortable with everything because like being a new investigator, it's like you can train a lot of cases. And I had gotten a lot of really crazy cases within like my months of training. But it's like when you're out on your own, it's like you don't have that other investigator with you. It's like you don't have someone else like agreeing with you on stuff. And so it's like, I'm just going to leave this up to the doctor and just keep my mouth shut on scene as far as like what I think is going on here and not tell the sheriff what I think, because it's pretty obvious what he already thinks happened. And, you know, he's trying to cover for his friend. So yeah, the whole thing just looked weird to me. And it was like, the more that I thought about like the position, because like when I asked them, like her sandal was still right there. And I'm like looking at her sandal, I'm like, the sandal is like in pretty pristine condition. And I'm just thinking like, it would have been so easy for her to just slide her foot out of this sandal. Like, why wouldn't she have done that? Because her other sandal was off. And if she was like kicking and fighting for her life, wouldn't she have just slipped her foot out of this? Like, or wouldn't she like have tried to like wade herself through the water? Like, I don't know. I feel like it would have been so easy for her to get herself out of this situation because she wasn't like this frail 78-year-old woman. Everyone told me that she was like in great shape, and she did look like she was in good shape. I don't have anything on here as far as any health conditions. So yeah, and if she had a pool in the back, she probably swam all the time, or at least you would think she'd be a competent swimmer.
Was she tan?
She was in great shape. Like, she looked like she was a well taken care of woman. Like, this is in the middle of summer. She was probably swimming all the time. So yeah, everything just looked weird. And I just, honestly, the position that they're saying that she was found in, it kind of looked like she had been pushed and that she had stepped backwards onto this filter and fell into the pool. So
that
is what I had relayed to my doctor. And my doctor was like, yeah, I even think that this is like weird, because she like looked at this woman. She's like, she's not some frail little woman, and she looks like she's in great shape. And she's like, this just doesn't make sense to me either. So yeah, she like gets into this autopsy, and she like comes out like halfway through. She's like, so this is going to take me a lot longer than what I thought, because I'm going to have to go through layer by layer on her neck, because I found contusions and hemorrhaging on her neck, which would be consistent of someone putting their hands around her neck and possibly choking her.
No, because that wouldn't have happened if she had drowned. She would have just hit the water.
Exactly. And that wouldn't happen from CPR or any life-saving measure.
So he could have had his hands around her neck. She could have stepped on the thing or whatever and gone backwards.
Mm-hmm. Even if they would have put in what they call like a king airway, which is like intubating. So it has like this little, almost looks like a little air like balloon thing at the end of it. They insert that in through like the mouth, of course, down through like the airway, and it's, you know, has a tube, and then it's like a pump, right? And they do that to try to inflate like your lungs, or like inflate your airway, so that they can like intubate you like fully. There's no way that kind of trauma would happen to your neck in that way. So, but alas, doctor can present these findings to the jurisdiction that is in charge of the investigation, but they are still the ones in charge of bringing charges against the party.
No. Right? Oh, I didn't think about it like that. So that guy was still in charge.
Yeah. That sheriff that's friends with the husband. Guy. He said, there's no way that he would do that to his wife. I have been friends with him for this many years. So nope, he didn't bring charges against him. Yeah, it's basically undetermined, because she can't put a homicide on this if the department or the sheriff's department doesn't think there's foul play involved.
But she didn't put drowning, she didn't put drowning, right? Because she doesn't think she died from drowning.
No, that's why you put undetermined.
Oh, so what happens then if it's undetermined? He just buried her?
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Crappy.
Super crap.
Also, I did pull him up, and I did like Google him a little bit, and he had been in trouble with, I don't want to say the law. I mean, he did go to court over something stupid like cows, and he got arrested. He tried to say that the police, which is a little interesting, because he tried to say that the police like were very aggressive with him. And
now the police department is different from the sheriff's department.
Right. So, because if it was his friend, I don't think he would have filed a lawsuit against them. But he did file a lawsuit against the police department. He had also filed bankruptcy in the 80s. I think it was like 86 or 89.
Oh, so that would have been, yeah, like 30 years earlier.
Yeah. But it was like a couple years after his daughter had gotten married to the whatever wealthy sounding individual. So anyway, sounds a little shady to me. I think it's always shady though. Like, I would, no matter what, because again, I experienced this last year with the passing of my mother-in-law. Like, there's nothing like enjoyable about that experience. And you don't want to be around that. And you want them to have some dignity. And the fact that all these people were over at their house and yes. all these people were, and I like, or I don't like it, but I find it interesting that this guy kept saying like, oh, I'm friends with him. Well, chances are you were friends with her too. So you just hope that he would have given her more respect. But, you know, I did text while we were talking. I did text my doctor friend and I asked her if she would want an 80-year-old dentist working on her. And she said, and she said no. And she's a dentist. And she said, hopefully when she's 80 years old, she's playing on a golf course or something and not working on people's kidding. Teeth. But she also said, your vision has to be very sharp, right? Because you're looking at little things in people's mouths and have to be pretty precise in what you do. So
all I'm going to say is I hope her ghost is haunting everybody.
Just not you. And if she is, hopefully she's haunting you in some good ways, right? Like, hey, can you give me that extra?
I'm doing my deed here, so.
I feel like some of the women that we've podcast about, like, need some justice. I think the woman who was found shot by the revolver, mm-hmm. and I think this woman, I just think that maybe there's some sort of group we can either create or there's that exists that can fight for the rights of these people.
Kelly, I look on TikTok and I'm told that if you're over 30, you're supposed to be half off now. So
half off? What does that mean?
You gotta settle. Mm-hmm. That's what these men say.
Wow.
So I don't know. I don't know what we can do for.
Well, anyway, that's. That makes me mad. Because he's still alive.
I know, it makes me mad too. So yeah, this is why I get in trouble. I open my mouth and say things. And
I don't think you're wrong. The people get upset. Most people get upset with people who open their mouths because they know that they're doing something wrong. And it's a reaction. Because otherwise, why would he care what you say or what you do? Right? Like, that's your job.
Yeah, well, he was trying to cover it up.
Of course he was. Of course he was.
He knew at the end of the day he was going to get away with it. So
for now.
Yeah, for now. Well, let's see. How long ago is this? 16, 17, 18, 19, 21. Yeah, I think. Well, no. Homicide, I was going to say the time frame where you can press charges has ran out. Because usually it's 7 years. But for homicide, it never runs out. So,
well, a lot of these old men are getting caught these days, so maybe he'll be one of them. Maybe I need to go see if he's married again. That's what I need to look up. But
yeah, right.
The story
did he benefit
continues.
From her life insurance policy? So,
oh, maybe he got himself in trouble again, which would be why he'd be working at 80.
Could be.
All right, something to look into. Well, follow up. We'll follow up.
The plot thickens.
To be continued.
Yeah. Dun, dun, dun.
If you have any questions, you can email us at kelly@diaryofadeathinvestigator.com or you can message us on our Instagram page, Diary of a Death Investigator. And until next time.
Bye.